from two gospel passages, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, and then from Matthew chapter 5. John's description of the gospel begins much differently than those who gave a genealogy, who talked about the angel appearing to Mary, speaking to Joseph, the birth of John the Baptist. John begins with light. We are in Sunday 2 of the autobiography of God, the I Am statements from John's gospel, how Jesus described himself. I am the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you grew up with a different version of the Bible, you might have heard bushel instead of bowl. They don't put the candle under a bushel. For those visiting and wondering, did someone abandon a bushel on our communion table? No, the pastor here has a habit of occasionally putting visual aids to illustrate what we're talking about. This is a Sunday school song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, the children are taught to respond loudly. I'm going to let it shine. What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? That we are the light of the world? I'm not sure how much you think about association, that your life represents at times the life of other people, of your family, of your neighborhood, of your company, of your school, of people whom you associate with, and that your life can speak well of those people, or very badly as well. I'm not sure how many of you have on your smartphone an app called Yelp. That's not Yelp to cry out, but it's something where you give 5 stars, or 4 or 3, or type out complaints about restaurants usually. If you're my age, you probably don't have this on your phone. I'm not asking you to get it. I don't get a commission. But it's easy to read, and you might see this in other venues as well, somebody saying, you know, I went to this restaurant, which I really love, and I've gone there for 10 years, but last Thursday night, we were served by the most impolite, inconsiderate, rudest person, and I am never going back to that restaurant again. A lot of power that one person holds in their hand, representing an entire restaurant, an owner, the staff in the back cooking food, and people serving it. And one bad experience with one individual, who knows, who just had a bad day of some type, and was a little crabby serving somebody, and everyone else wanting to go there, picks up the thing, says, well, does this restaurant get a good recommendation? Nope. Well, we're not going there. Maybe the offending wait staff was already fired and things are good there. Does it occur to us that the God who is light shines through or reflects off of those who know Him and claim to love Him. Much like the moon, which produces no light, but reflects only when the sun is shining. I'm aware that the word light has various definitions. We talked last week that the 9 I am statements are all nouns. They're substantive words. One of the definitions of light today is exactly the opposite of that, right? Something lacking substance. Well, I'm going to have a light salad dressing on my salad today. Light salad dressing, if you don't read labels, we, for example, buy Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. If you buy Hidden Valley Light, it has two ingredients, Hidden Valley Original and water. It's diluted, and you get to pay a little more for it. Isn't that a great commercial thing? So light, to a lot of us, means something with less substance than the original. That's not what Jesus means when He says, I am the light of the world. It's not L-I-T-E, or less caloric, or fewer negative effects. Substantive, and yet light is intangible, isn't it? Visible, that's the first thing we would say about light. But we can't hold it. We can't touch it. You could touch this light, for example, but it would go out pretty quickly and you'd feel the pain. Light has amazing impact and influence. But unlike the bread of life that we talked about last week, you can't pick it up and hold it and squeeze it and slice it and eat it. Lots of scriptural teaching about this topic, the light. Interesting that the first thing that God ever said in the form of commandment, at least as recorded in our written scriptures, is Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. That was day which of creation? Day number one. And the first thing of which God said, He saw that it was good. Actually, as I was reading this passage this week, it hadn't occurred to me that the sun and moon and stars were not created on the first day of creation, were they? You realize that? That's day what? Day four. So what was lighting up this light that was separated from darkness? So sorry, my week got busy. I didn't have time to research that, but I'll bring an answer back later. And God saw that it was good. This is what was first declared about light that dissipated darkness. The Lord is my light and my salvation, the psalmist said. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, said Isaiah, prophesying about Jesus. Messiah is called the light of all mankind. We just read that in John's gospel. Who shines in the darkness. Peter said, one of the reasons you have come into the light is to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So that's the direction I'm heading, obviously. Jesus is light. That's pretty easily established. But how about the light in my life? Am I living to call others and declare the praises of Him who called me out of darkness? It says that Satan, our enemy, masquerades as an angel of light. A cautionary statement because, therefore, not everything in the spiritual realm that appears to be light really is. Not everything that might appear to illuminate my path and my mind towards God is really correct. John said in his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus said, in his conversation with Nicodemus, John chapter 3, light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Maybe you had this experience as a child, hiding in a dark closet and hoping that what you were doing wouldn't be discovered. And mother came in and flipped on the light, and your eyes went like this, trying to adjust. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Paul used light in describing relational guidelines in the church as he wrote to Corinth. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, he said, speaking of the marriage relationship. For what fellowship can light have with darkness? That's a fine line to walk, isn't it? We're called to sing the praises of him who called us out of darkness, to shine the light, to go after those who live in darkness, but not to be yoked together with them. And he said to that same church in Corinth, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. So be careful when you look at that verse and think, well, praise God for that. Because you have a heart too, and you're capable of being wrongly motivated, am I correct? Very easy to see that. And think of those who are living wrongly and say, thank God, I'm just waiting for that day. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, as he self-described in his gospel, said this in his first epistle, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So there's one reason that a lot of folk hesitate to get involved in a family of faith, because the light of the gospel shines here. And something in my life is eventually going to be revealed. Jesus said everything will be revealed one day, and Paul said that, but some are revealed in this life. And so you might think people in your circle of friends are thinking, I kind of hesitate walking with these people who have the light of the gospel because it's going to expose my life. But I note that that's a daily choice. If we walk in the light, that's a decision that we make, isn't it? And he said, John as well in his gospel, Jesus, quoting Jesus, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me, God the Father. Night is coming when no one can work. I skipped over the fifth point. I hope you weren't too worried about a very lengthy sermon with 11 points today. But number five is kind of where I want to concentrate. You are the light of the world. This is central to our life in Jesus and our lifestyle, isn't it? A city built on a hill can't be hidden, and people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. If they're lighting it, it's to give light and to everyone in the house. So who then is the light? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So is it Jesus or is it us? I think the answer is, it's Jesus. And then ideally, if we're living as he wants, us also. We call that process discipleship. I intentionally pattern my life after the one who laid down the pattern. He lived in the light. He lived in purity and sinlessness and compassion for the needy and the poor. He lived in submission to his Father's will. He lived not a selfish life. A conspicuous life. Intend as a follower of Jesus Christ to be visible. Because that's what he wants. Not for pride, not to be noticed, but for God to be seen in your practical day-to-day life. And for people who know you, and if they know you well enough to know that you claim to follow Jesus, the Son of God, for them to understand that that makes a difference. So how do you make that visible? Well, you can get a cross tattoo on your arm. I've seen people do that. Don't have one myself. You can put Jesus bumper stickers on your car. Pretend we're still in the 1980s. Or you can put a banner across the front of your garage or a billboard on Interstate 35. Or march on Washington or go pray on the steps of the state capitol. Believers have an unending penchant for ways to say in public, hey, I'm with Jesus, but that don't involve relating to lost people personally. So how is it that we will shine the light of the gospel? Jesus said, good deeds is one of the ways. Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. There's a story a few years ago. I was soon after we returned from Brazil, and I was in northern Ohio with on a tour of mission conferences and local churches. And Eric, the missionary from Indonesia, was with me. Stayed with a gentleman 1 week and pulled into his house one night after service and noticed that on the facade of his garage up near the peak was a cross in lights, lit up very bright. And he remarked on it and said to the gentleman, well, I don't see a lot of people with a cross like that. Well, yeah, he says that. That's what the New Testament says. We need to shine the light of the gospel. Who's going to disagree with that? The next day, the missionary was sitting down at breakfast, and a man came in with his work clothes on and began to talk about the fight he was having with his neighbor. The neighbor whose house faced the lit-up cross. He says, yeah, he had a couple down trees in the last storm, so he cut it all up into firewood, and he stacked it. But he stacked it about 8 inches over the property lines on my side. So I pushed the whole pile over. Because Jesus, you know. He didn't say that part. You know, you don't want to offend your host, do you? But my friend said, dear one, listen to me. Do you think your neighbor is looking at the pushed over wood pile or the lit up cross? Interesting that of the 9 I am statements, only this one applies to us also. Jesus doesn't say we're the bread of life, that we're not the gate of the sheep, we're not the good shepherd, we're not the way, truth, life, resurrection, or vine. But of himself, I'm the light of the world, and he says of us, you are the light of the world. You're not the light of the universe. You're not the light of history. You're not the light of eternity. Jesus is all of that. But in a world darkened by error and lies and sin and evil and disobedience, Jesus had this plan to shine the light of his person through us. Jesus could remain ageless. He could have stayed here on earth until the final day, couldn't he? Why did he decide to sin and go back to the right hand of the Father and leave this important task in the hands of those he had trained? So love the light. Live avoiding detours that lead to darkness. And understand that the light of God is not religion, it's not the local church, it's not doctrine or ritual. It is his Son, Jesus Christ. And you can point to that. And you can get a good recommendation on Yelp. I got a recommendation last week from someone who has visited our church one time. And he said, I told my girlfriend, you should go to that Hope Church. It's not like you'd expect at all. It's not near as bad as you'd think. Amazing review. And I thought maybe it's a good thing that we're not on Yelp or some recommending website. Jesus gave this warning in Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. For if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So which is it? Show the light of Christ by good deeds, or be careful not to do them in front of men? So the answer would seem to come down like this. Don't do good so others see you. Do it so they see Jesus. Maybe it's not that easy to understand the fine line, but it's our heart and motivation, isn't it? Is his love showing through? Or is it being hid under a crude bushel? We need to pray about that, don't we? Let's talk to the Father, shall we? We just have no way to imagine, Father, what our life would be like without this truth, that the light of the gospel of the living God has come into our lives and shines brightly and reveals our sin, our brokenness, our shame, the things we'd prefer not to be seen by anyone. Thank you for the light of our conscience that where the Holy Spirit accuses our own hearts and tells us where we have broken pact with you. And I pray, forgive us if we have just been satisfied to know the light and enjoy the light and live under a bushel, as it were, so the light doesn't get blown out by the storms of the world. We do know that you are a God who looks, who evaluates. You don't post on Twitter or Yelp or other things, but we know you're looking, and we want to so live that others would see the light of the gospel through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.